Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa, right here on LA Talk Radio.
I stared at the phone for three rings, knowing that the answering system picks up in four. I wasn't sure if I wanted to answer this call. I had a bad feeling, and I was afraid. I thought about letting UCLA leave a message so I could freak out first and then call them back. In a brave breath, I grabbed the receiver at the last second. Numb, stunned, paralyzed are the words that come to mind to describe how I felt after I hung up the phone. I thought of the dent in my boob. Is that cancer? I don't even think I told Joe about the dent, but with tears in my eyes, I told him that we are going to UCLA Westwood the very next day for some more images. They found something in both breasts. Was there a dent in my left one, too, that I missed? I was afraid to look. The 3D mammogram I had 3 days before in Thousand Oaks showed something suspicious in both breasts. Really? This is just crazy. I'm healthy. I can't have breast cancer. No one in my family has ever had it. And I have a cyst in my spine, too, that I'm waiting to get out. Wait a minute. Is that really a cyst? What's going on in my body? All of these questions overloaded my brain as I felt my body betraying me. I stayed horizontal on the bed, feeling numb, crying on and off, watching TV to help distract my thoughts and all of those questions that were flooding my brain. I'd rather watch someone else's drama and get sucked into their world. Joe was beside me most of the time, but we really didn't talk much at all. It was like we were afraid to talk about it and give it energy. Don't look, and it's not there. We didn't want to share this with anyone and make any of them worry, too. Most of the family lives 3,000 miles away, and my sister Debbie lives in Hong Kong, way too far to hug me and cry with me. Besides, it was Debbie's 60th birthday, a huge deal. How could I give her news like this on her birthday? We just wanted to get the rest of the day over with and get the second images done tomorrow morning and then take it from there. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Accent On. My name is Chrissy Lomax, and I'm honored to be sitting in as guest host for Ilona Europa every Monday in December at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. I'm grateful to Ilona for providing me this opportunity to create a forum of experience to help in the many areas of life that are affected by a cancer diagnosis. What I just read to you was from a chapter called A Bump in the Road, from my yet-to-be-published book I just finished writing since finishing treatment 15 months ago called Another Interruption, My Journey Through HER2-New Breast Cancer. I'm not a doctor or medical professional. I'm coming to you from a place of experience. I have the experience of a fitness professional, a nutrition specialist, a Pilates instructor, a marathon coach, a weight loss coach, a motivational speaker, and most importantly, a survivor. I beat HER2-new positive breast cancer. I know what it takes to get to a finish line. I looked at this interruption in my life as the marathon of my life for my life. I had to prepare. I had to train, endure, listen, and properly nourish my body, focus on the goal, visualize the finish line, and trust my team to support me. There is no way that after everything I've gone through in my life that cancer was going to take me down. My hope is that this program will inspire you to live your best life cancer-free. I'd like to thank Judy Pelliungis of The Spiritual Mall, an online store that offers a wide variety of inspirational, meaningful, spiritually, and socially conscious products. You can find them at thespiritualmall.com. Judy is also honoring her husband, Jim, her brother-in-law, Craig, and her assistant, Suzanne, who are all three of them, are undergoing their own journey through cancer right now. Okay, I'd like to introduce my guest tonight. We have a full house. We kind of had to squish in here just because of the fly on the wall, so everybody could be seen. For those of you that are watching at home, hello. And hello, Yorona in London. Ilona. I know that... I'm... Pardon?
Ilona.
Ilona. Yes. Who did I say?
Irona.
Irona. Well, that's interesting, too. Okay. Ilona. And Joe, thank you for being here again tonight to correct me. You know, my husband, he's always correcting me, right? And to take care of the board and all of that for me. I'd like to introduce all of my guests. I have Raina Tsuda, who is from UCLA. She is an acupuncturist, a pressure point therapist, and a certified massage therapist. I have Sandy McGurn, who is a cancer survivor, and actually she's in treatment still for cancer, undergoing treatment. That's been going on for a long time now. I also have Denise Hernandez, who is also a cancer survivor and has a great story to tell and is really vibrant and why I wanted to get her on the show. And also Denise's wife, Lauren, who is here, who is a great support and has a lot to say and a lot to share as well, who has shared a lot with me as well. Because, of course, when you have your partner in life, Joe, my partner in life, he ended up learning a whole lot about cancer when I was going through what I went through. So it becomes a family affair. And we do have a family affair going on with the three of you here, which we'll explain when we get there. But for first, I would like to introduce you, Raina. So please introduce yourself to our listening audience.
Well, my name is Raina Tsuda. I am a clinical specialist at UCLA Center for East-West Medicine in Westlake Village. So what I do there is acupuncture. I'm also a massage therapist. And then outside of UCLA, I'm also a certified Pilates instructor, and I also do Reiki.
That's fantastic. Okay. The first question, I started going to see Raina almost a year ago. When I finished my treatment, it was recommended by my oncology team and my doctors to go in and see her for acupuncture. I had no idea what acupuncture is. I mean, I've heard about it for years. I just never ventured into that area myself. So please explain, what is acupuncture?
Well, when we think of cancer, we think of a stagnation. So a stagnation of qi, the energy within the body, and the blood within acupuncture meridians. So we use acupuncture and the needles and also the massage to move that qi and blood within the body and to help relieve some of those symptoms.
It's amazing. So I understand that. Now, how does that little needle you stick all over there, and like Sandy was saying, in my ear. Yeah. How does that translate to having the flow?
Well, it's moving that stagnation in the body. So when we look at cancer is a stagnation of the qi in the blood within the acupuncture channels and within the body within an organ. So we're just using those needles. So similar to, we can think of the freeway, like a freeway system and traffic. So if there's a traffic jam, a stalled car, it bottlenecks all the traffic behind it. So cancer is, you can look at it as the same, it's a traffic jam. So we use those needles to open up that traffic jam and increase the flow again.
Fantastic. Okay. So does it hurt? Another question everybody wants to know. Does it hurt?
Well, luckily, acupuncture needles are about the size of a hair. They're about hair thin. So most of the time, they do not hurt. You know, every once in a while, there are parts of the body that are more sensitive than the others, that have a little bit more nerve ending. So then you can feel a tiny pinprick, but usually doesn't last very long. But usually, even for the people who are completely needle phobic are able to tolerate acupuncture.
And people that are extremely, extremely ticklish like me, I'm telling you, I can't go for pedicures. I do them myself because, I mean, I even am too ticklish to touch my own feet sometimes. But but when you're sticking those needles into the areas and she touches, I don't jump or anything. You're really lucky because it could be injuring. I could kick, you know. But so it is a gentle, so you don't hurt. Will one treatment make a difference?
One treatment can make a difference. Acupuncture is cumulative, so each treatment builds on the next. That's why we recommend that you do a series of treatments. But usually with one treatment, people walk out feeling at least relaxed. And for most people, they've probably never relaxed in this way before.
Ah, wow. What are your guidelines or your advice in dealing with a cancer patient for helping for the total body healing?
Well, we like to focus on the mind and body and getting that connection. We really want people to relax and learn how to deal with their stressors in their life. So we also recommend doing mindfulness meditation or any kind of meditation to also go along with the acupuncture. And then nutrition is also very, very important. I know there are a lot of anti-cancer diets out there, but we like to focus on Eastern nutrition. Mm. So we make recommendations based on the person's constitution and what's right for them. We also will provide some recipes for congee is
yes.
our most common recipe that we give out to our acupuncture patients. That's a rice porridge. It's very common in all Asian cultures. So we use it within Asian cultures anytime you're not feeling good and you just don't feel like you can eat much. Congee is something great that usually everybody can keep down. So that's one thing we recommend. And then also exercise is important. And people probably can't keep up doing the amount of vigorous exercise they were doing before treatment. But while they're in treatment, we just try and encourage people to at least just get out and do a little bit of walking, because that will help stimulate the lymph system, help you feel better. It keeps that qi and blood flowing. But do everything in moderation. Really, we want people to learn to listen to their bodies.
Absolutely. Fantastic. Now, I know that it is a real total body-mind connection when you are in there. And often when I've been in treatment with you, I just start crying. It was a lot more last year, you know, when I was still having to deal with chemo-sabi, right? But, you know, it is an emotional experience sometimes, especially when you've actually taken the time, hey, I'm taking care of myself now. I'm slowing down, and I'm going to nurture my body. And that's kind of what I find this treatment to be, very nurturing for me. And I've never done that kind of treatment before, so it is very helpful. Can anyone benefit from acupuncture?
Absolutely. You know, we all live very stressful lives. Even though we do our best to take care of ourselves, it's always very, very beneficial for anybody to try acupuncture. You know, if not, just lay down and relax. You don't have to have something specific like cancer going on in the body. You can treat aches and pains. We can treat just about anything with acupuncture.
Hot flashes?
Yes, we can definitely treat hot flashes.
Yes, hot flashes. That's a really good thing to know. And of course, you know, you're at UCLA, so you are in my insurance. So, yes, your insurance will cover these treatments. Yeah, absolutely. Anything else that you can add to that might be beneficial for the listeners to hear about acupuncture?
I mean, I would just say for anybody to give it a try. It's not scary.
Right.
And most people are afraid of it. It's not like some people will think of it as voodoo type of medicine, but more and more, no. You know, there's a lot of research going on and finding out the true benefits of acupuncture and how it does scientifically work in the body. So definitely being open, we're getting more opportunities with integrative medicine, and it's being incorporated more and more into hospitals. So
it's fantastic. Yes, it really has changed over the last 20 years, definitely. I was reading about acupuncture, and is there a specific type of acupuncture called ear acupuncture?
There is auricular acupuncture. So what it is you can Google pictures of it, but you can superimpose a homunculus of a body, of a baby's body, on the ear. So we can treat the whole entire body by just doing ear acupuncture.
Wow, That's amazing. And you don't have to have big ears.
No. So it's actually used a lot in for PTSD and, and
interesting.
We call battlefield acupuncture.
Right. Now, when I go for my treatments and going back over the last year, because I have come a long way in the last year, not to mention I have hair, so much hair now as well, but... at first, was that in mind with your treatment for me with the PTSD? Because I did have that and could cry on call, you know, for very emotional, yeah.
Well, I like to do ear acupuncture on every patient. Okay. Just because it is, because of the location of it being so close to the brain, I find that ear acupuncture is very good at working through the emotions and really calming and relaxing the body.
Fantastic. I have to wait a whole 2 weeks to get in again to see you. I cannot wait. Thank you so much. That is excellent. Very helpful. Well, we're going to continue talking, and then we will end up having a discussion between all of us. I'd like to introduce Sandy McGurn. Okay, and Sandy is actually still undergoing some cancer mm-hmm. treatment right now. Right. If you could please tell everybody... what's going on with you? When were you diagnosed?
I was diagnosed in 2015, mm-hmm. and I was told I had very slow growing. I had probably had the cancer for years, even though I'd had mammograms religiously and breast exams by the doctor, but it apparently is a lobular, long, stringy kind of cancer, which mm-hmm. is more difficult to, I guess, diagnose by feeling.
Because you can't feel
it's
it.
Not
yeah.
It's not like a lump. I never did feel it in my breast. But anyway, it had already gone to my lymph system. I actually had a physical with my doctor, and he told me, "You're great. You're a picture of health." I got down from the table, and I said, "Okay, but, you know, I have this lipoma," which I'd had many of, and they're usually benign. And I said, "This lipoma on my neck bothers me because my seatbelt hits it and so on and so forth." And I said, "I'd like to have it taken out." "Well, okay, let's do an ultrasound," which didn't prove anything. He says, sort of non-conclusive. So he says, "I'd like you to see a hematologist." And I went, "Ooh, that's blood, hematologist. Why would I do that?" Well, hematologist, oncologist, is sort of one and the same. It was a nice way of sending me across the hall.
Right.
Anyway... they said, "Well, you need a very fine surgeon to work on your neck like that." So they sent me to a very fine surgeon, who shall be nameless because I can't even remember his name. But anyway, he said, "You know," he said, "you have a swollen lymph gland." I guess the ultrasound had shown that I had a swollen lymph gland under my arm. So they called me and I said, "Well, yeah, maybe I do. Yeah, I guess so." He says, "So we'd like to aspirate that before we do your neck." So I okay. So went in, they stuck the needle in, they aspirated it, and then I had to wait. And as I'm driving down Lindero Canyon, I get a phone call.
And you grabbed the phone?
And I grabbed the phone, and it was from the doctor, who spoke very broken English, very, very. I mean, I could hardly understand him when I was looking at him, let alone on the phone. And he said, "Well, you have breast cancer."
When you're driving.
I'm driving. I practically crashed the car. I said, "Well, wait a minute." And then my immediate thought was, he's got his papers all mixed up. It's not me. You know, there's none in my family. Yeah. You know, I go through the whole thing.
Yeah.
It's not
me. Well, like I just read when I got that phone call.
It's not me. And he said, "Yes, you have breast cancer. Now, I want you to do this. And you know, I said, I can't remember all that. I'll have to call you back. So I immediately burst into tears, of course, and then went home, and my daughter came over, and my sister came over, and we just proceeded to drink until we got drunk. However, the next morning, I still had breast cancer.
Didn't change it.
Didn't change a thing, no. Didn't solve any of my problems. I had a headache to boot, so.
Oh, no.
Anyway, I talked to my OBGYN, and he sent me to Santa Monica to St. John's. And I went there under his recommendation and had a very fine surgeon. However, I kind of felt like I was going to be given a package deal. Like, you know, we're going to take care of you and with oncology and so on.
Yeah.
However, it didn't quite work out that way for me. I had the surgery. And then I asked about, you know, what's, oh, she said aggressive chemo and aggressive radiation. And she said, ugh, because it had gone so far, they had so many lymph nodes to remove, 25 here that were cancerous and two up in my neck. And they said, well, it's metastasized itself, so we really want you to have aggressive chemo and aggressive radiation. And my daughter's friend had a connection at UCLA, and she said, well, don't you think she needs a second opinion? So I went across the street and went to UCLA, where a team of doctors all worked together on my case. It was oncologist, radiologist, surgeon, reconstructive surgeon. I mean, doctors that I didn't really need. I mean, right. I hadn't had
so
a
So your team
removed.
Was starting to
but
come together.
But the team
together.
Was there, yes. Because I will say, across the street, I was given a card to call for an oncologist, a mm-hmm. business card. And mm-hmm. I thought, well, wait a minute. I thought you were going to set me all up with this.
Yeah.
So that was an unpleasant experience for me. But anyway, I went across the street to UCLA in Santa Monica. And I'm under the care of Sarah Hurvitz. And I mm-hmm. think she's fabulous, wonderful. She said, no, we're not going to put you on chemo and radiation.
Right.
She said, you know, I think partially, you know, my age was a factor. And she said, you know, your quality of life would not be good. And so we're just going to starve your cancer. We'll just take the hormone. It's living on estrogen. We'll take the estrogen out of your body. What little your body is making, we'll put a blocker in there and no more estrogen. And yes, you'll have hot flashes. but I really, you know, that was minor compared to all that was going on.
Yes.
But anyway, So for 3 years, I was on estrogen blockers.
Wow.
And I felt great. I mean, I was never symptomatic of anything.
Right.
Which I think is kind of hard because, you know, if you have a pain and you go to the doctor and they say, well, it's cancer, at mm-hmm. least you've had a pain.
Yeah, exactly.
But when you're walking down the street and you feel like the picture of health and they say, oh, by the way, you've got, you know, you've got cancer.
I totally get it.
That was really a shocker. So I had no symptoms. I felt perfectly fine. And I was taking this little tiny pill.
Yeah.
Cost me $6 a month. And I said, hey, this is a piece of cake.
And that went on till
however, when? Every time they took my blood, my markers were up. Mm-hmm. They'd go up and up mm-hmm. and up. And I'd say, gee, there's 60. There were 50 last month. Aren't you concerned, doctor? No. Well, now they're 80 this month. Aren't you concerned? No. She said, when they get to 120, I'm going to go, well, let's think about this. Well, they went all the way to 539.
Holy moly.
So she said, and meanwhile, she had tried things in between that. I'm not going to make her sound like she let it go that far. Mm-hmm. I had tried oral chemo, mm-hmm. and I had side effects with all of those. I couldn't mm-hmm. take them.
And when did the markers hit over 500?
Last summer, beginning
of
the summer.
Okay, so that's when they started to hit you with treatment.
Then
again.
I went into chemo. I mean,
then you went into chemo.
I have chemo. Mm-hmm. I had it every week for a while. Then they cut it back.
You got a port implanted.
The port implanted.
Good.
And they gave me the chemo every week.
Yeah.
And then that was too much, and the dose was too much. And so, you know, they've been working together with Dr. Ashuri out here in Westlake so that I have a lesser dose now, and I'm feeling better. I'm still on it, but I'm on 2 weeks on, 1 week off. My markers are now 186.
Fantastic. And, you know, Sandy, you look amazing, and you still have your hair.
Well, yes.
You still have your hair.
They said it would thin, and believe me, it has thinned.
It looks great.
I count my blessings. And I really haven't had terrible side effects until the last couple of weeks. I've really been bothered with neuropathy in my feet.
Yes, because like going for acupuncture, it's
cumulative.
Yes, but I'm saying it is the chemo that does, after so many treatments, it does build up. So
it begins
after
to show its ugly face in many different ways.
When you're in treatment four, you start to feel the side effects from treatment one. Uh-huh. I mean, it is delayed, so everything does.
Yes. And I think it has exacerbated my arthritis because I certainly have arthritis.
Yeah.
And so my feet are my main problem right now.
There's just so many drugs, and there's so many side effects that we have to deal with all of the different drugs. So I'm really glad that you are seeing Raina.
Oh,
as
I am.
Well. Yes.
I saw her last week, and I tell you, it was Nirvana. I just said, "Oh my God, girl!" And she has magical hands. She gave me a massage, and I just went.
She's such a tiny petite woman.
Yes, but
and those hands, I'm telling you, holy moly!
The only bad part about it was I can't get back in until the end of January.
You have to book. Yes,
I have to suffer.
So if you
January
do want an
24th.
Appointment with Raina, you better call. We will give you the number at the end of this. Show because she is very popular.
And the needles, believe me, you don't feel them.
No.
Somebody asked me that the other day. Oh, no, I couldn't do that. She says, don't the needles bother you? And I said, you don't even know they're there. I mean, I didn't. I mean, my ear, I knew she was doing something fancy in my ear. But it doesn't hurt at all.
And you know what? It's going to move your treatment along so much better. And hopefully you will get some relief with the neuropathy. And
that
is just one of the side effects, you know, like somebody that is dealing with diabetes, having the neuropathy.
Yes.
It's the nerve damage.
And some
of the drugs in our chemo cocktails, the side effects are nerve damage and will be neuropathy, the tingling in the fingertips and the tingling in the toes.
Thank
and actually
God
the
I don't
pain,
have the
too. I kind of do little bit still.
Yeah, I'm a knitter, and if something bothers my hands, you know, this game is all over.
Well, you'll have to learn to knit with your toes then, right? Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story, and you're doing well.
I'm doing well.
Because you look great.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
And the markers are going down, and you're continuing the treatment.
Yes, and I keep saying, you know, what's the end of this? When are we going to stop? And she says, we don't want to stop when we're getting success.
Yes.
We don't want to mess with success.
Yes.
So just sit down and
be present.
Shut up.
And be present. Yeah. Being present's difficult.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, you have your niece here, Lauren.
My niece.
And her wife, Denise, that is a survivor.
Yes.
And like Joe and I went through it together, the two of you went through this together with your treatment. So, Denise, please tell us when you were diagnosed.
I was diagnosed in 1999.
Mm-hmm.
Went through my treatments in 2000, so I'm a 19-year survivor of breast cancer and an 8-year survivor of kidney cancer.
And you're an inspiration to everybody like us that is sitting here in the state that we're in. So congratulations to you.
Thank you.
Now, when you were diagnosed in 1999, you were not given like a pathology like it was hormone positive or hormone negative, like HR or PR positive or negative, or HER2 new positive or negative. It was just breast cancer.
Breast cancer, I was estrogen negative.
Negative.
That was all I was given.
And our suspicion is that if you found out now, it was probably HER2 new positive. Do you think?
Could have been.
Yeah, it could have been. So you really don't know because of 1999. A lot of things have changed since then. Yes. Yes. And your treatment was chemotherapy?
It was chemotherapy and radiation. And because my breasts at the time were so large and dense, I had to go through a much longer period of chemotherapy and radiation. So it was a really difficult.
And you had two
surgeries. Yeah, and I had three surgeries.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so the treatment was more than a year?
Yeah, it took about a year, actually, but the treatments were just really brutal for me.
And so that was breast cancer in 1999. And when did you have a reoccurrence of cancer? When it was?
Well, the kidney cancer came, I can't remember, it was 8 years ago.
Okay.
So, and that was discovered by mistake.
How do you figure that
one
out?
Yeah, right. I was in the hospital for something else, and they went to do a... What was it?
They were supposed to do an upper thoracic CT, and they did an abdominal CT.
And then that's when they came into the room and said, "We did the what was it, MRI?
Or
CT? What something like that?
It was an image.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
We did it the wrong part of your body.
Yeah.
But we discovered that you have a tumor in your kidney. And my first thought was, please, God, tell me that it didn't come from my breast.
Yeah.
Because then that would have been more,
aggressive.
Aggressive, yeah. Thank God it didn't come from my breast. It was a totally separate.
Brand new cancer.
Yeah. It was
Hallelujah. Aren't you special?
Yeah, right.
Unbelievable. Yeah, now, how long was treatment for that?
Actually, the tumor was on the very outside of my left kidney, and they just went in and did an ablation, and it was gone.
Holy, amen.
Yeah, right?
Wow, yeah.
How crazy is that?
It is. So now, because you went through so much aggressive treatment, and it was a long time ago, a lot has changed in treatment for breast cancer since 1999. In fact, Herceptin, the drug that I fundraised for in the 90s, that ended up getting FDA approved in 98-99. That wasn't till then, and it was approved in 2010 for all patients like me with HER2 new positive breast cancer. But when you were diagnosed in 99, there weren't as many options for treatment. So what happened? You ended up with many other side effects from the treatment that you had.
That's kind of what I wanted to talk about, because I think it's really important. I was left with probably things that people really don't talk about too much, and that was the side effects from the chemo and the radiation. I was left with neuropathic pain all over my body from the neck down.
Wow.
And what happened was is that I ended up being put on a number of opiates to deal with the pain for 20 years,
Holy
to be honest.
Holy smokes, that is,
And just to run a few of them by you, morphine, Dilaudid, ketamine.
Like at home, like on a
basis? Daily basis.
Wow.
She took oral opiates 3 times a day, and then she also had an intrathecal pump implanted, which is implanted in your abdomen.
Yes.
And it has a little tube that goes directly into your cerebrospinal.
Speak into the mic.
Into your cerebrospinal fluid in your spine, and it trickles in whatever's in the pump. It was ketamine for a while, and then it was a variety of different opiates for a long time.
Until they figured out what worked best and seemed to be the Dilaudid that worked best in the pump. But it was just crazy. It's like I just lost. I lived on the 1 to 10 pain scale at an 8, even with all of those drugs.
Wow.
It was just crazy. And they don't really tell you that these are things that can happen post-treatment.
Right.
And it took you 2 years just to get that diagnosis, too. It took 2 years of fishing to try and figure out what was causing the pain to begin with.
You know, it was, is it lupus? Is it RA? Is it, is it rheumatoid? Yeah. Is it fibromyalgia? Yeah. Is it this? Is it that?
Yeah. No, it's just chemo. Yeah.
Yeah, and finally they just said it was a result of the stress on my body going through chemotherapy and radiation. I lost 20 years of my life going through this and Lauren having to deal with all of that stuff with me.
Well, she's still there.
Yes,
she's still there. So she made it
37
through
years
because it is It is the whole family is diagnosed, and everybody has to deal with it. I just wish you had Raina in your life 20 years ago. Because you might not have had all those side effects. But now they know a lot has changed.
Oh, yeah.
And the drugs have changed.
Yeah. And the drugs have changed, and now they know. Holy smokes. Like these. How did you get off of those drugs? That's my question.
I got a really bad case of the flu in 2015.
Yeah.
And I couldn't keep anything down, which meant I couldn't keep any of the drugs down. Yeah. And I went through withdrawals.
It was a divine intervention.
Which was also really crazy to have a really bad flu and go through withdrawals. But I did it. And then when I came out the other end, I found that I wasn't in as much pain as I was while I was taking the drugs. And so I just never went back on them.
Good. It was like a divine intervention.
Yeah, but it took me like 3 months.
Wow.
To go through all of that. And then I never went back on them. And then I told my doctor, I want this pain pump taken out because I didn't want any of that stuff going through my body anymore. And so now I'm living my best life.
And you look wonderful. You are feeling good. And you have lost almost 100 pounds.
I've lost 95 pounds. I've changed my diet completely.
Yes. She's a different person.
And I feel amazing. And that's my story.
I love it. I love it. But you know what? You had to take command
and control. Yeah.
There's a period of time where we are completely feeling out of control and helpless. Because let's face it, it's a pretty uncontrollable situation when they say you have cancer. So you have to try and find control where you can within that phrase, right?
Oh, yes.
And you finally did. Once you got out of your stoned haze.
Oh, gosh, yeah. You know, it's funny.
Your purple haze there.
I never even realized that I was in that.
Yeah,
haze.
No.
I totally didn't.
But I
even
bet
know
Lauren
that.
Knew it.
Oh, how my was God. That? Oh, my goodness.
How? Holy smokes. Yeah. Oh,
my Aunt Sandy knew it. Yeah. Everybody around me knew it, but I you know, I'm
so you've been like reborn now.
Totally. Absolutely.
Yeah, and you know what? That is the one thing is to not have to take those drugs. And there are so many drugs. Even now, I just read something from Cure magazine about a drug that's now been taken off the shelves. Now, I was just in treatment just over a year ago.
Right.
And before my oncology nurse gave me a little pill to take because of this acid reflux that I never had before in my life. But it would happen because of the side effects of some of the drugs. So she was giving me Zantac to take beforehand. Do you know what? It's just been taken off the shelves.
Right.
Recently,
yes.
For causing cancer.
Yes.
I was taking that when I was in treatment for cancer. What the heck's that about, right? So it's amazing all of the things that, how quickly they change.
Well, I was taking Protonix for acid reflux. I stopped.
Yes.
Yes.
And now you're changing everything you eat, too. And that's what I wanted. I really am excited that Lauren was able to be here as well. Lauren, when I saw the two of you over a year ago, I think I had just finished my treatment. Maybe I still had my port and was still getting infusions. But you, Lauren, told me, read this book, Chrissy. I said, text me the title of it. And she texted me the title of this book called Tripping Over the Truth. The author is Travis Christofferson. And he is a medical journalist, amazing guy. So I thought, I trust, she's brilliant. Lauren is a professor. She's a scientist. She's a doctor. I've got to read this book she just told me to read, you know. I don't have that kind of brain like she has, but I'll see if I can read it and understand it. And you know what? I did. I read it twice, and it was life-changing. And for those of you that want to read an amazing book about the history of finding out about the metabolic connection to cancer that is more and more being proven and coming up in articles. Raina, have you been reading about that as well, like the metabolic connection known as the Warburg effect? Over 100 years ago. So it's about the cancer connection to sugar also, and how sugar has been proven to, or cancer cells has been proven to metabolize sugar. And that's why as soon as they called me back in that passage I read at the beginning of the show, when they called me and said, you have to come back for more images. And because I had just discovered that dent in my breast 2 days before, right before I went for my annual mammogram, hadn't known anything was wrong, I thought, okay, I know about the sugar connection. I'm cutting everything. And I have, to this day, I do not have anything with sugar in it and have changed all of my eating as well. And to read that book, Tripping Over the Truth, really reinforced everything that I had been working on, and it really taught me a whole lot. What would you say about what you've learned? Because you went to school when your wife was diagnosed. So
right. Well, I was already working when she was diagnosed, and cancer is not my professional area of expertise. But you know, any family member of somebody going through cancer, especially a scientist, it becomes an area of expertise pretty quickly. Yes. And it was, you know, certainly from a professional perspective, interesting anyway. One thing I liked about that book is that it's really well written, and it's well written for a lay audience. So it's, I think, really easy to understand and gives really a new perspective of thinking about cancer and, frankly, other chronic illnesses. Which is something that I think we are dealing with as a society in general. When you look at
like, how do we deal with cardiovascular disease? How do we deal with something like type 2 diabetes? The sort of premise of the book is you can't solve a medical problem if you haven't defined the problem appropriately or adequately to begin with, which is always what you're doing when you're trying to solve a problem, is you start out by thinking, well, what is the problem? And we have such a focus on genetics being the driving force. And what Travis is trying to point out in that book is that there's a long history suggesting that while genetics are definitely important and genetic mutations are important in cancer, they may not actually be the driving force. And as you mentioned, the Warburg effect is basically a way of imaging cancer that's telling us how cells at the cellular level, how are they deriving their energetics? And what we know is that they're doing it in an abnormal way. And it's a thing that's common to every single cancer cell, which is the challenge when we're coming at it from a genetic perspective. If we're looking for a genetic mutation, the problem, even in a single cancer tumor, is the cells that make up that tumor are very heterogeneous. They're very different. Some of them may have one mutation, others may not. A neighbor, the cell sitting right next door, may not have the same mutation. What's common to all those cells is that they derive energy abnormally.
Yes.
So anyway, it's a really well-written book, and I think it's anybody that's interested in thinking about cancer, it's worth a read.
And it changed both of your lives.
Definitely.
The way you treat your body. Yes. Definitely. And I've always said that, you know, just coming from the you know, weight loss coach and thinking of nutrition and all of that. Most people are more interested and more serious about the fuel they're going to put in their cars than they put in their body. Mm-hmm. And they'll put any crap in their body. Mm-hmm. Whereas, oh, no, I won't put that gas in my car, mm-hmm. you know. So it's about getting really serious about that and taking control of it ourselves in that way. The metabolic connection to, I've thought about it so much and trying to figure it out. And the way that I look at it is I'll watch, if you watch TV and you'll see, oh, in that commercial where you see the guy getting slapped in the face from the food that's giving him heartburn, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. It cracks me up. But then, take this pill. Then go ahead and eat the food.
Right.
Why not just not eat the food?
Right.
You know, like, honestly, yeah, just have something that's not going to do that to you yeah. rather than try to put a bandage on it so you can do more of that horrible stuff to your body, you know? And it's like, well, let's just take a pill for that. Take a pill for that. Take a pill for that. Oh, but you can get breast cancer if you take that pill for fixing this. You can get lymphoma for taking this pill for fixing that. You know, it's amazing. Whereas if we look at the food we're putting into our bodies and the fuel we're feeding our bodies with, what a difference that can make. Mm-hmm. We won't have to take something else to take care of it because, well, what we ate wasn't making us feel too good, you know? So it just doesn't make sense to me. Change what we eat. We can change the way that we live. We can change the way that our body's going to respond, mm-hmm. you know? So I'm forever a student with all of this. Forever a student. Mm-hmm. Would you say that you have any background on the metabolic connection to cancer? Have you been doing any research on that?
Well, I haven't been specifically doing any research, but definitely within Chinese medicine, the whole digestive system, we associate them with the spleen and stomach organs. They're the center of everything and the center of all the other organ systems. So that's why it's really important for us within Chinese medicine to always, what we call, tonify and try and strengthen the whole digestive system.
So it is. Yeah. It is the same thing. Yeah, it's amazing. What a difference it can make, you know, absolutely, by what we're going to eat. But that always just, it's too much for me now. And I mean, I thought of it before cancer, but after cancer, wow, it's amazing what a difference that can make to what we're going to be eating. And that's everything to do with our part. Let the medical team do their part in taking care of the medicine and everything to get rid of the cancer. We have to be in control of what we eat. There was no way I was going to go home and put down a bottle of wine.
Well,
but now you know.
What can I say?
But now you know, because really, it's important. What else would you like to add about this, please? Yes.
Well, one of the things that that we did, diabetes runs really deep, actually, on both of our families. and for me, on both sides of my family. And one of the things, especially with Lauren being a scientist, educates me all the time. And the
you don't
fact,
have a choice.
Yeah, right. No, it's really actually quite cool. And so one of the things she was telling me about was the fact that every time you eat something, something as innocuous as a mint or a stick of gum, mm-hmm. that causes your body to create and generate insulin. Mm-hmm. And so what you want to do is, and certainly correct me if I'm ever misspeaking on this, what you want to do is you want to, anytime you eat a meal, and then you allow your body to just then eventually go down. When you eat your meal, you generate insulin. And then you let your body just go down, and then it stops generating insulin, and for hours and hours and hours. Okay, so what we do is we eat a meal, and then we fast for 21 hours. So for 21 hours, our body is not generating insulin. And then we eat our meal again, and then it generates the insulin.
Right.
And then for 21 yeah. hours again, we do not generate any insulin. That's probably yes. the very high-level layman's way to explain that.
Yes, and it's called intermittent eating, which there is a lot written about it right now. And I would specifically bring up a book by Pamela Peake. I'm not sure of the title of her book. I'm sure it is published now. I listened to her speak over a year ago at a conference on that at a nutrition summit. But this time goes fast, doesn't it?
Yes.
Doesn't the time go fast here? How are we doing for time, Joe?
Good. 2 minutes.
Okay. Well, I think I'm going to just thank all of my guests. I think this was a fantastic panel. Thank you so much for bringing all of your energy and your stories. And thank you, everybody, for listening. And I'd like to thank Raina. And how can they get in touch with you to make an appointment with you? Because you're going to help them.
So the phone number for UCLA Center for East West Medicine in Westlake Village is 805-379-6650.
Okay.
But don't take my appointment.
And repeat that number for us one more time.
It's 805-379-6650.
Don't take Sandy's appointment. Okay, and Sandy, thank you so much for being here tonight.
My pleasure.
And Denise and Lauren drove down yesterday from Sacramento to be here on the show tonight. I really, really appreciate that.
Oh,
but
that
I knew
pleasure.
Your energy and knowledge and experience was going to be very helpful in here, and I really appreciate everyone's time for being here with me tonight. Thank you, everyone. I'd like to thank Judy Paliungas of the Spiritual Mall for her online store that offers a wide variety of inspirational, meaningful, spiritual, and socially conscious products. You can find them at thespiritualmall.com. I'll be here again for the last 2 Mondays in December, sitting in as guest host for Ilona Europa's Accent on LA Talk Radio, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Please come and listen next week, because I have the Buddhist Center is going to be here, the Tushita Kadampa Buddhist Center will be here. We'll be talking about meditation, absolutely, and the benefits of that. You can contact me at my Facebook page. Any questions for me or any of my guests through my Facebook page, Chrissy Lomax, and it's ChrissyLomax, or my website, ChrissyLomax.com. And we're going to finish this show with the same song I finished last week that I wrote and recorded in my pajamas and bare feet going through treatment, called Fragile, because I had many people ask that we would play it again. Thank you. And from my guests and myself, Chrissy Lomax, thank you so much for joining us. And for Joe, too, thank you for taking care of us tonight. And until next week, stay positive.
Very fragile right now. I'm very tangled and lost and confused. I'm very fragile right now. I find it hard to keep myself amused. I don't understand how you can leave me out in the storm when
when I most needed your hand. With my spirit torn, couldn't believe you were so intertwined with yourself, not to notice me calling your name. I'm very fragile right now. I'm very tangled up in my own blues. I'm very fragile right now. I feel I don't have much left I can lose. Can you tell me how you can keep swimming in water infested with creatures that tear at your armor and never forget to breathe in all your positive energies floating on top of the waves? I'm very fragile right now. I'm very tangled up in what I choose. I'm very fragile. Find it hard to decide what to use. I don't think you don't think I'm as sensitive as I am scared to go on with the fear. I'm not sure I can. Nobody thinks I could ever be shy or embarrassed or lacking the strength that I need. But I'm very fragile right now. I'm very fragile right now. Right now. Now.
You're listening to Accent On with Alona Europa. Right here on LA Talk Radio.